All right. We started talking several weeks ago, actually, about the body of Christ. Got another week and a half to go. But yesterday, we had talked briefly at the end about the meaning of the word understood in grammar, an understood word. It's not stated, but it's there and it's obvious, and you know the meaning of it. Go close the door. The understood word is the subject of the sentence, you. You go close the door. So it's the meaning of the sentence is understood there too, as well as the subject of it that is missing, as you stated. Let's see, or reestablish another. Let's see, what did I miss here? Is grafted in the same as reinstated as his chosen people. Let me see. Okay, I didn't go up far enough. Excuse me. Hold on. We'll get to the question here first before we get started. If any doubt, Mike, they just need to read about the Jerusalem of Revelation, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Right. Just the opposite of a holy nation, isn't it? That they were prophesied to, that God will make them, and he hasn't yet, and he will, though. All right. Thank you for that comment. Maybe another word. I just commented on. Okay, good. All right, so we're up to date. And we'll read the verse where that applies about understood. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And remember, the church of God was what that Jerusalem little flock Kingdom Church was called, and the off branches of it too that developed as they were scattered. So that verse is telling them something, but who is the them? The them that to whom Paul is referring or speaking. It means you give none offense. Not you listening to me, but you that he's writing to. You Corinthians, give none offense to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And we've read about the history of that church in Corinth and what happened there and how they developed. But we'll get into that more probably now as we go along in more detail, because it's important to understand. It's important in the understanding of what this is talking about here. So there were four groups in the Corinthian church. At least in that verse, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, there are four groups. So, what is it saying? Let's count the verses first of all. Excuse me, the groups. Get my words mixed up there. Count the groups that we see as we read that verse, and we'll start at the end of the verse. There's the church of God. Then there's the Gentiles. Then the Jews. And we still have at least one more group in the verse. The other group, or groups, in the verse was the you, to whom Paul was talking. So we can't tell in English. You know, we understand. I didn't. You know, I guess you could, if you knew whether it was singular or plural, you could say, "Ye give none offense," or you could say, "Thou give none offense," which, you know, which is the second person personal pronoun in perfect English, which denotes the singular or plural of the word, of the pronoun. But we just have, in today's language, we just have you. And you have to say you all, or you person, individual, you know, it can mean either singular or plural. So, the you, who was that you group that Paul was talking about? That's what we're going to be looking into. Well, they were not one of the other three groups. They were one more, at least one or more additional, different group or groups, or else Paul wouldn't have named the other group separately. And then, you know, he wouldn't have said, you treat You know, you listening to me now, treat the Pal Talk audience well. You'd be talking to yourself. I mean, I'd be saying you treat yourself well. It just doesn't work that way. You don't. He's talking about somebody else. Okay, put it that way. Okay, a question. Let me just get through this little section here, and I'll look at the question. So Paul wouldn't have named the other groups separately if they were the same group that he was talking to. If I say, don't hurt him, it's different from saying, don't hurt yourself. Him is not you. You is not him. So, you is a different group in that verse, and we'll get into that in a minute. Let me just take a look at the question here. Could we not assure that Paul was speaking unto the Corinthian church? Yes, but we need to define exactly what that what was the constituency of that church? Who made it up? Did unbelieving Gentiles make up that church? No. You know, so we can rule some out, but as we go along, we'll do that. We'll go through that process. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry about my throat. Give me a second here. Hold on. So there were at least four groups in Corinth, in that group that were gathering together. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, the group that he's talking to at that time, not only the Jews, not only the Gentiles and the Church of God, but also the U group, including the body of Christ that came out of the synagogue. You know, Paul went there and he preached three Sabbaths, and then he preached a longer time with them, and he preached the gospel of God first. And then it says, we should go through the, in my notes here where we go through that. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. But he preached to them a longer time. And then he gathered them up together, and they were not welcome there in the synagogue. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. And the apostate synagogue was just like those Pharisees that Jesus encountered and those that crucified him. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They believed he was a fraud. So here's these people. Excuse me. So these Paul came to Corinth, preached to them that Jesus is the Christ. Some of them believed and were not any longer welcome there. And Paul separated them out, departed, and began meeting in a certain man's house named Justice, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. There was a common wall. They were built together. And so he had these two groups, both the ones that believed that Jesus was the Christ and also believed that he died for their sins, and so they were saved and in the body of Christ. And then the other group that he divided out were those that that also were not welcome in that apostate synagogue. They were the ones that believed that Jesus is the Christ, but they still believed the Jewish doctrine that was in the Old Testament. They did not go on to believe that they were saved by Christ dying for their sins. That wasn't part of what they were called to believe. So they were meeting together, and then Paul had to separate between them. So he... well, let's go on. I'm jumping ahead of my notes here. But both those groups which believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. And you can find that in that gospel of God in several places. In Romans 1, the first four verses, especially I think it's the third and fourth verse. But the first four, because the first verse defines it as the gospel of God. And you can also find it in Acts 17, verse 3. And a couple other places, meant that combination is mentioned, that they believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God, and that he rose from the dead. The risen Messiah, in other words. So the difference between those two groups, which he separated out from the apostate synagogue, was that only the body of Christ also believed the gospel of Christ. Christ crucified for their sins. That's what saves them. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God doesn't save you, and believing that he rose from the dead doesn't save you. It's believing that Christ died for your sins and was raised for your justification that saves you. That's the gospel of Christ, the saving gospel. So the gospel of God is a gospel. It's good news. Gospel means good news. It just isn't a gospel that saves. Just like the gospel to Abram, mentioned in Galatians 3:8, is not a saving gospel. It doesn't say this will save you, or it doesn't say it'll save him. It's good news, though, about what God is going to do in making him and blessing all nations through him and making him a great nation. And you can read that what he was referring to there in Genesis 12. So Paul knew that a main part of his commission was to preach the gospel to the remnant according to the election of grace, to those that God knew were part of Israel, but Israel was shutting down. They had fallen as a nation, and they were on their way at the end of Acts to being cast away. I mean, they were on their way to being cast away from God, which occurred at the end of Acts. So they were blinded and cast away in Acts 28. You can read it, as we've said twice already, in Acts 28, verses 16 to 29. Let's look at Romans 11:5 about that. About what this remnant that we just brought up, that Paul's commission was to preach to the remnant. And Romans 11:5 says, even so then at this present time, no, that's not now, that's not what he's talking about now, he's talking about at the time he wrote the letter, which was the epistle to the Romans, which was written in Acts 20. In the Acts 20 time period, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So there were some, the remnant refers to those, a small part of Israel, that would elect grace. They would choose the grace gospel to be saved by. And Paul was going around synagogue to synagogue during that time when he was sent to them before he was sent to you and me. But he preached the same message of salvation to them, starting from Acts 13 when he was first sent for that. He was saved and in the body of Christ starting in Acts 9, verse 6, I believe, according to some of these other verses here about when he received the gospel, and that was, you know, well, you can look at it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and you can look at it also in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So, 1 Corinthians was written just after Paul separated the local newly believing little flock and the local newly believing body of Christ from the apostate synagogue. And then spent 18 months teaching the Word of God among them. But it was still written before Israel's blinding, so there was still the possibility that some people could come into Israel. By the time this was written in Acts, he went there in Acts 18 and wrote it in Acts 19. Israel had already agreed not to evangelize, not to go to the heathen, but to leave that to Paul. You can read that in Galatians 2 about that Acts 15 meeting. Galatians 2, verse 9, in fact. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 19 and 20, Paul lets them abide in that same calling wherein each was called. And it's obvious it was his goal. It was an obvious goal of Paul in writing 1 Corinthians to challenge those that believed his teaching of the gospel of God about who Christ is, to also believe the gospel of Christ about what Christ did to offer you salvation by dying on the cross for your sins and for their sins. So let's look at that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7:19 and 20, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So he's actually, the word that Paul used is let. It's not a commandment. It's an allowance. It's grace. He's offering them grace. He's saying you can stay as you are. There's no penalty for staying in Judaism, you know, as a believing Jew now, one that believes that Jesus is the Messiah that will someday come and rule the world through Israel, from Israel. That was Israel's hope, that they would have eternal life in the land and that they would rule the other nations. That was what the hope that was given to them. But those verses show that although the U group included all of Corinth's new believers in the gospel of God, whichever they were, that, you know, whether they believed the gospel of Christ or not, yet some of those believers had, and some of them had not, gone on to believe the gospel of Christ to be saved. Some of them did, though. Some did believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their own sins and that they didn't have him on them anymore to die to have the penalty against them, no judgment against them anymore. The judgment for their own sins was placed against Christ when he went to the cross, and they believed that. They trusted their salvation to the act of God in allowing his son to be crucified for me and for you, for their sins. Not only was there a Jewish remnant that would elect grace, but Paul's commission included gaining them and saving some of them before Israel's blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. So that's mainly what you see in Acts, is that's his job. He says it several times, I think five times in there. He says that he's going to those Jews first. And also the God-fearing Greeks called God-fearing Gentiles called Greeks. But here, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and see Paul's attitude toward his commission there and toward that remnant according to the election of grace. Starting in 19, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. And that's explained in 1 Corinthians 9, the first part of 9, the 20th verse. But he goes on to say again, that I might gain them that are without the law. That's his goal, to gain these people from these different categories, these different groups. And to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you. In other words, that we may be in fellowship, that we're partakers together of this gospel. You too, in other words, they hadn't heard it. He's sharing the gospel with them that he already believed. So he can be a partaker together with you by seeing you saved and believing the gospel that he preaches. And in thinking about this, there are several things that have to be satisfied, several factors. in order to accurately survey this situation. There are four things that I've seen anyway that need to be satisfied. Paul's commission in Acts before Israel's blinding is to save some of the remnant, according to the election of grace, by preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that you have to remember that. Secondly, Paul shook hands at Jerusalem not to go to the true circumcision, the believing Israel, not to try and preach to them his gospel. Okay? He didn't rule it out, though. He shook hands and he consented to what Israel, those Peter, James, and John had said. You can look it up. We may get to that later. Galatians 2:9. They said, Peter, James, and John said, we will go to the circumcision. That's what they restricted themselves to, the circumcision, and not to go into all the world as their so-called Israel's commission or Great Commission had called them to do. Peter had the power to bind and to loose, and he used that power to loose right there, to loose that part of the commission from them. And he said, and they said that we are, you know, I forget the word. Oh, there it is. Good. They allowed Paul and Barnabas to go to the heathen. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So it's not binding on Paul. It was Peter, James, and John that made the commitment that they would go to the circumcision. So the third thing, there was that Paul would go to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and he agreed, you know, in principle, not to go to the true circumcision, although you remember his commission to God, from God, takes priority to what those who seem to be of reputation among the elders and apostles at the church, the Israel of God there in Jerusalem. His commission was to Jews, to Gentiles, and to kings, and not in that order. I can't remember the order, but it's in Acts 9:15. You can check that out. He was still sent to Jews at some point in his life, and he had been being sent since Acts 9. He was sent to Jews. He was separated under the gospel of God at first, so he preached to the Jews the gospel of God in the synagogue there. It records it in Acts 9, verses 20 and 22, and I think 27 or 6, somewhere in there, 28, somewhere in that region, that he preached the gospel of God. But then you get to Acts 13, he begins preaching the gospel of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he does that all the way through. He says it again in Acts 19, verse 10. He says that he went to the Jew first and also the Greek. When he summarizes what he had been doing since Acts 13, in Acts 20, verse 21, just before he announces that he has this new commission to go to all people, he says that he was going to the Jew first and also to the Greek in Acts 20, 21. So, that's the second thing. The third thing is the Church of God uniformly refers to the little flock, the kingdom believers, the Israel of God, the church in Jerusalem. It's what's called the Church of God. And I've searched, done a search on it, and I can't find anywhere that it refers to anything else other than the church, the believers. So when he addresses that letter to the Corinthians, there are some of those in Corinth, in the group that he's addressing there. Some people from that, not necessarily that were born in Israel and came up in that particular church, but of that doctrine, of that teaching. They were believing Israel. They were Israel believers. And we know that from the text, that some of them believed. And yet, there were some that believed as believing Israelites and some that went on to believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. And the fourth thing to remember, the Bible tells us that in at least two places, Paul took the believers in the gospel of God, including some that also believed the gospel of Christ, and he separated them all from the apostate Jewish synagogues. And we're told that in at least two places. The cities would be Ephesus and Corinth, and it would be Acts 18 and 19. And we'll cover those verses in a few minutes. So now let's talk about Paul going to those Greeks, the Greek Gentiles, the ones that blessed Israel and came to the synagogue, not the ones that had their own little idols and ate pork and catfish and didn't care about any Sabbath or any other day, just wanted their own way. People like us, not talking about that. Paul went to the Greek Gentiles, those that sought God, sought the wisdom of God, and they feared God. So, doctrine aside for just a minute here, let's consider the reliable history in the Acts timeline, in the book of Acts. Let's go look at those verses of what actually happened, what Paul reports, or Luke reports, that Paul said in Acts 18, verses 1 through 8. And let me get a sip before we start here. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And we find out down in Acts 18:21 that when Paul left Athens, he was headed for the upcoming feast in Jerusalem. But he came to Corinth and in Acts 18:2 and found a certain Jew. So he was looking for Jews there. He came to the Jew first. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, and I think that's in Italy. Lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned, and you get the definition of that reasoning there in Acts 17, 1-3. He went and told them the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, that the Messiah had come and he had risen from the dead. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, not the the heathen goyim, not people like us. It was the Jews and the Greeks is all it says. So let's see in Acts 17, 1-3 what Paul meant by reasoned and persuaded. Acts 17, 1-3. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, now this is not in Corinth. This is when he approaches another synagogue. This would be in Thessalonica. But let's see what happened there in the use of the term reasoned. Going on verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, that's his mode of operation there, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So the word them, he reasoned with them, refers to whom Paul was sent. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And also in the same thing in the verses we're considering in Corinth in Acts 18. But this final verse here, what did he do when he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures? Verse 3, Acts 17:3, opening and alleging, he introduced to them and made his case that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's the Greek word for Messiah, Christ. So Christ was, Jesus was the Christ. Jesus, born of Mary, was the prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament. and he rose from the dead. Those are the factors in the gospel of God. So according to Acts 17:3, the facts of which Paul reasoned and persuaded the Corinthians was what he calls the gospel of God in Romans 1:1-4. It's got that same definition there. Being the facts which God tells or testifies about who Jesus is. So with that understanding, let's go on to verse 5 in Acts 18, where we had left off. Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews, okay, singling out the Jews here, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's more emphatically what part of the gospel of God he's preaching. He's preaching that Jesus was their Messiah. He's not preaching the kingdom gospel to them. He's preaching the gospel of God that's the basis of all gospels. Both of these, anyway, that we're talking about that were concurrent in the Acts period. There was only one gospel before Acts 9 when Paul received his gospel and was saved by it. And during that time period there were two gospels, and until there was only one gospel again after Israel was cut off in Acts 28:28. After that, there was only the gospel of Paul. Paul's gospel, he calls it my gospel, the gospel given to him directly by Christ by which he was saved. So Paul concentrates on the Jews still teaching the gospel of God that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, so you've got Jew people descended from Jacob here, that did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They were not believers. You know, they were not true Jews, actually. If you go to Romans 2:25, they weren't believing that part of the law that identified the Christ. And they, by that definition, they were not circumcised, not part of the circumcision. They were uncircumcised in heart and mind, I think it is, that Stephen accused them of in Acts 7. It says they opposed themselves and blasphemed. When they did that, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed from thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. So this is Justus's house. And it goes on and it says, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Okay, that's that building like a duplex, right next door, joining wall, joined hard to the synagogue. Verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So they couldn't believe until they had heard. Do you see? Did you catch that in there? Many of the Corinthians hearing believed. They heard Paul preach. They couldn't hear it until Paul was sent to preach to them. And they were baptized. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and being baptized tells us that the gospel which they heard was the saving gospel of Christ. So this is mostly, it's to me, it's for sure that it happened before Paul was sent not to baptize. There's a point, he had several, he calls it an abundance of revelations. So many places Christ interrupted what he was doing and said, we're going to do it this way now. So somebody that says things never change and God doesn't change his approach just hasn't read the scripture or studied it. You know, God changed his approach to Adam after he sinned compared to before he sinned. So all through the scriptures there's a progress that goes on, and there came a point where God said, let's not baptize with water anymore, we're baptizing into the body of Christ now instead of into water. And there is going to be one baptism from here on. So, and this Acts 18 event here in Acts 18, verse 8, occurred before that happened, before he was sent not to baptize, because it says they were baptized. So when Paul came to Corinth from Athens, as we see in Acts 18:1, we find him week after week in the synagogue of the Jews, as it said in verse 4, reasoning and persuading the Jews and some of the Gentiles, the Greeks that were present in the synagogue. And later, he testified specifically to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's verse 5, which is the gospel of God. When those Jews opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul said in effect, well, I've informed you first as I was sent to do. Now the choice is yours. I will go to the Greek Gentiles to whom I was also sent. He says, I will go to the Gentiles. It doesn't say Greeks, but as you follow the Acts record in the book of Acts, that's who Paul went to. And Paul did say in Acts 26:19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That's in Acts 26:19. And so Paul went to whom he was sent to. And he wrote to whom he was sent to in his epistles. Both the early ones, he wrote to whom he was sent to, the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the late epistles, after the end of Acts, he wrote to all people in those. But it's the same gospel message. It's the same saving message. It had different recipients, so they gave it a different name after the end of Acts, but it was the same. I shouldn't say after the end of Acts. It's beginning to be called the gospel of the grace of God in Acts 20, when he was sent to all people. Before that, it was called the gospel of Christ. Christ being the Greek word for Messiah. So it was good news that came back from heaven from their Messiah. He was going to the Jew first. That's why it was, you know, it made sense that those that were looking for their Messiah would listen to Paul preaching them the gospel or the good news that came about a personal salvation now, not about a national, holy nation and a kingdom of priests that they were to be. Paul's early epistles were written between Acts 9 and Acts 20, when he was sent to the Jew first. During that time, he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, in order to save some of those, that remnant, according to the election of grace. And those books, those epistles that were written during that Acts 9 to Acts 20 time period would be Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians. And they weren't written in that order. I just put down the order they are in the Bible. But it's also true that Paul's later epistles, written after his second sending to all people, those would include Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. These later prison epistles, they're called, were written after Paul had been sent to all men, even to the far off. They're called far off, and they were Gentiles. And it says they were in the regions beyond. Paul says he was sent far hence in that later sending, the sending that comes after the temple vision that he reports it in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. So Paul went to and preached to whom he was sent to. That's what he did in the early ones, also in the later ones. When he was sent to more people, he went further and preached to them. And you can see the difference in the epistles, too. In five places between Acts 9 and Acts 20, Paul names those to whom he was sent and to whom he went and preached the gospel of salvation. And when he went to other people other than the Jew first and also the Greek, he preached that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Messiah. He preached the gospel of God, not the gospel of salvation. So people find places, well, here he talked to a Gentile. Yes, but he didn't give him the gospel of salvation. He wasn't sent to do that. And if that person asked, I don't think there is any record of a Gentile separate from the Jews back then, before Acts 20, of a Gentile separate from a Jew asking Paul how to be saved. But if there is, there's no problem in telling him. He was, you know, he had the good news. He was glad to tell anybody. But he was sent. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He didn't go seek out people like us until after Acts 20. And until you hear the gospel, you can't believe it. places where he, let's see. After his temple vision is when he went to all people. But there are places where he talks about being sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And some of those places, let me just list them here. If you want to listen back later, it'll be posted on the website. But you can write these down from that. Acts 14:1, Acts 18:4, Acts 19, verse 10, Romans 1, verse 16, Acts 20, verse 21, Romans 10, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22, and verse 24 in 1 Corinthians 1, same chapter. So, in fact, there's no place between Acts 9 and Acts 20 where the Bible says that Paul was sent to and went to and preached to anybody, preached the gospel of salvation to anyone besides Jews and Greeks. Greeks being the God-fearing Gentiles that came to the synagogues, blessed Israel, and feared the God of Abraham. We Gentiles that are alien to Israel, separate from Israel, not blessing it, not having blessed Israel before they were cast away, we were said to be, and this is directly out of the scripture from Ephesians 2, verse 12, we were five things: without Christ. Secondly, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And we could post that, actually, Ephesians 2:12. The third thing, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Not in the covenants of promise. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. Fourthly, we had no hope. And fifthly, we were without God in the world. How desperate we would be without Christ's good news for all. For us people, for all people. In Paul's all men epistles that were written last, and that same gospel is preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek earlier in his early epistles, and you can read what that gospel is, and you can be saved by that gospel, realizing that now it is to us too. Going on, Paul, let's see what time is. Oh no, okay. I might not be able to finish. Oh yeah, I just have a little more. This may just fit. Okay, let's get on with this. Paul separated his believers from the church of God after he separated out those that believed the gospel of Christ, that Jesus was the risen Messiah, from that apostate synagogue in Corinth, and also in Ephesus this occurred, but we're talking about Corinth here. Paul, it says, departed from the synagogue, entering into believing Justice's house, immediately adjacent to the synagogue. In fact, it was joined to it. It was built to it. The chief Crispus, that chief ruler of the synagogue, believed, and also many of the Corinthians believed when they got to hear Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And that's the key there. They didn't believe until they had heard it. They didn't hear it until Paul had preached it to them, and they, you know, it hadn't been preached to them until Paul was sent to them. So let's look at Romans 10, 14, and 15 here, and that kind of describes what we just went through, that process we just went through there about the Corinth church. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach? How could Paul preach to them until he was sent to them? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In Galatians 2:9, we read it before, we can look again. In Galatians 2:9, Paul had shook hands, with Peter, James, and John. James, it's listed as James, Cephas, and John, with Cephas being Peter. And he said that he would go to the heathen and leave the true circumcision to Israel's apostles. And that's who they went to. They stayed within the boundaries of Israel for the most part. And there's some thinking that either some of them went to Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, the ones that Peter writes to. But it's more likely that some from there had been there at the Pentecost feast and heard Paul preach. Welcome, Puffy. I tried to invite you earlier, but I think you're probably away from the computer at the time. They had heard Paul preach, and so the connection had been made. Peter had, misspoke there. The ones from that were Jews that had come to Jerusalem didn't hear Paul preach. They heard Peter preach. Paul hadn't been saved for another year yet after Pentecost. So they heard Peter preach, and Peter ended up writing 1 Corinthians to those people scattered, those Jews that were scattered. And we're going to have to stop.